Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to navigate the tumult of this life. God be praised that Gabriel Castillo exists. Now we did our first show with him, which was really excellent. But you know, one of the things I love about him is his enthusiasm. But he's been a devout Catholic for a long time, and just recently discovered mental prayer, and it's kind of blowing up his whole world.
You know what's so cool about that?
Yes, tell me.
It's just amazing that somebody that can be so given over to the Lord.
Yeah.
There's still more.
Oh, there's still more. That's what's cool about it. It's endless.
His entire life has been given over to the Lord and Our Lady. And then he has this profound, you know, kind of experience of like, where's Our Lady gone? And now he discovers mental prayer. And there's a whole nother layer, Grand Canyon of graces that are going to be flowing his way just by engaging in mental prayer. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that you've discovered this and that you're testifying to it, because we preach it 24/7.
Yeah.
And I think people don't believe it. They don't believe in its power. At least I didn't. I've had friends who have, you know, this very thick book on mental prayer. And I'd look at that and I say, it looks too complicated. I'm doing okay. And then you realize, well, actually, I'm not doing okay. There's a great history and tradition that builds upon, you know, the greatest saints who've ever lived. And we've been missing out. There's a saying that the greatest achievement of the devil is to make people believe that he doesn't exist. I don't agree with that saying. I think the greatest achievement of the devil is to keep people from authentic Catholic spirituality, which is mental prayer. And now I think that thanks to your work and through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's spreading and people are embracing it more and more.
I really appreciate that. You know, just in case you missed the first show, Gabriel is a Catholic lay evangelist, videographer. He does excellent work on YouTube. He's been doing it for 16 years. So he was way ahead of the curve, well before most of the most popular YouTubers of our time. 29 million views. Go check out his work at Gabi. I got to say it right. Gabi After Hours. And that it'll show up on the screen there on his YouTube page. And then if you struggle with that, go to truefaith.tv. But Gabriel, now you wanted to jump off on the
I want to talk about the rosary. I want to talk about the rosary and how that kind of faded. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, with your devotion and your consecration to Our Lady, I'm certain the rosary was like every day. I'm right there with Mama. You know, I'm in the spiritual battle. How did that change? And like, what happened as this lead into mental prayer? And how have you kind of integrated the two and found power in that?
So I am a big promoter of praying all the mysteries of the rosary every day. And I've always gained fruit from it, is regardless of how miserable it felt at the time. So because the rosary has the Our Father and the Hail Mary, and those are scriptural prayers and the power of the Holy Spirit, you're calling upon the assistance of the Blessed Mother. You ask and you shall receive. Our Lord's not going to deny grace to somebody who's begging for it, even when their prayer is dry, even when their efforts, you will receive grace. And so that's the way I was for a long time. I would simply say the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation. All right, Our Father. And then I would just say the mystery, and then I would do the Our Fathers and the Hail Marys. And good things would happen. Prayers would be answered. But I liken it to, I felt like I was squeezing an orange with all my might and only getting one drop of orange juice. Through using the methods of mental prayer, it's as if you squeeze the orange with all your might and you get a fire hydrant of juice. It's awesome. Disproportionate. It's disproportionate. Right. Yeah. It doesn't even make sense how much grace is coming out.
Yeah.
And a bad day using the methods of mental prayer when praying the rosary is way better than a good day without using mental prayer when you're praying the rosary. And I really believe that it was this method of prayer that Our Lady had intended from the beginning.
Totally.
And we see that at Fatima when she gives the first Saturdays. She says, yes, pray the 15, pray the five mysteries of the rosary and spend 15 minutes with me meditating on the life of the Lord. Why would I have to do that extra step if unless she's talking about mental prayer. We just had lost what that meaning was. Mm-hmm. And so now when you, now, and Mary's goal, everything that she does is directed into forming the body of Christ. And the rosary, the way she gave it, is kind of like this superfood, this concoction of all of the best aspects of spirituality, the very best vocal prayers you can pray, calling upon the Virgin Mary. The Holy Spirit hears those words, Hail Mary, full of grace. And he's so excited because those are the words where the second person of the Holy Trinity became a man. God the Father is so excited. The Son is so excited. All the angels in heaven had been waiting for those words ever since the fall of Adam and Eve. Those words are the cornerstone of the New Testament, and they always bring life, and they always bring grace. They always bring light in the darkness. So you add that to a real encounter with Jesus Christ. And one of the conflicts that people have in mental prayer is you have to have a subject matter. You have to, and that's one of the steps that the saints give, is you need to know what you're going to use in mental prayer as your subject matter. Well, the Virgin Mary, being good mother, says, I know that you, some of you people don't even get past step one of having a subject matter. I'm going to give you the subject matter, and it's going to be the entire life of Christ in this order. Mm-hmm. Maximilian Kolbe promoted mental prayer because he said that when you spend time with Mary, you begin to resemble her. And the more you spend time with Mary, the more you resemble her, the more you resemble Christ, because Christ and Mary resembled each other perfectly because they were bone of bone and flesh of flesh. And so when you spend time with Mary in the rosary and you spend time with Jesus as a child in her womb, as she visits her cousin Elizabeth, as he becomes a baby, as he grows up and he goes to the temple, his life, his grace begins to overwhelm you. The only image I can think of is one of those glow-in-the-dark rosaries or a glow-in-the-dark statue, that when you put it next to the light and then you put it into the darkness, it glows, but not because of the statue and what it is, but because of the time that it's spent before the light. And so when you're praying the rosary using the methods of mental prayer, you're literally spending the entire day. So one of the things, by praying all the mysteries of the rosary, you don't do it all in one sitting. You have a time in the morning, you have a time in the afternoon, maybe on your way home from work, at night with your family, or before bed if you're a single person. And the light shines brightly all day long. And bad things happen and discouragements happen, but you still have that sense of the presence of God that helps you to overcome these sadnesses. And I've seen it in so many people. So I'm a full-time youth minister, and even in the best circumstances, even in the best families, there's brokenness. Mm-hmm. I would say kids who've gone through Catholic education from K through 12, even in the best families, the ones who keep the faith is about 30%. 30% keep the faith, 70% leave the faith, except for when the family has a devotion to Our Lady in the Most Holy Rosary. Even though the kids will report to me that they don't enjoy it, and the parents themselves will say, we're barely doing it because it's like, you know, our family's being held together by tape, but we're forcing that family rosary. In every single circumstance that I have a student whose family prays the rosary together, those are the kids who walk in week after week with their heads up, attentive to the gospel message. Mm-hmm. And in the families where they don't pray, even if they attend Mass as a family on Sundays, a lot of the times the kid comes in with his head down, with the hood over their head, with their drawstrings pulled tight, with something in their ear. It's just the spiritual warfare aspect of it, the encounter with Christ. It's already a great prayer. You add to it mental prayer, forget about it. It's a nuclear bomb in your soul.
Absolutely. And just for those that may not know, that we actually have a resource for that.
Yeah.
We have a book called The Contemplative Rosary.
Oh, yeah.
That Dan wrote. So you can find it at spiritualdirection.com/shop. But it is a beautiful book. In fact, because some folks will go, well, you know, I don't have, you know, the knowledge of the scriptures and all of that, and I'm not sure how to make all these connections. And what I love about that book, you've sold a crazy number of those books. People are so drawn to it because they desire to go deeper into the rosary. And so each mystery has the scripture. It has meditations to go with it. So you can full color, beautiful art in there. So you can slow way down with your rosary. And take that into your rosary time. And it's just going to create an environment where you can't help it. You're going to be praying mental prayer with your rosary and getting that giftedness of encountering the Lord, but also doing that vocal prayer, that weapon that Our Lady's called us to.
Yeah. You know, the other thing about this, the rosary and talking about mental prayer is that, you know, because some people I've heard them say, well, the Blessed Mother said, pray the rosary. She didn't say practice mental prayer. But, you know, the last show you quoted Teresa of Avila a lot. We can go back to her in the Interior Castle, which was her, you know, most important work, most mature work of her life. She said, if you're praying the rosary, and this is my Danslation, by the way, this is just the way I say it. If you're praying the rosary and you don't know who it is you are and who it is you're speaking to, you're just flapping your gums. And she said, you're not praying at all. Now, I believe, Gabriel, because of your disposition, that you have always, or, you know, I know you've had good days and bad days, but just as a general matter, you have prayed the rosary with a good disposition, which means even if you weren't as attentive historically as you are now, I believe the intention of the Blessed Mother, and you pointed it out in the way that she spoke about the meditation portion, is that we pray the rosary with attention and devotion. And by the way, folks, that means you're practicing mental prayer and vocal prayer simultaneously, which, as Gabriel said, is a nuclear, you know, bomb going off in your soul in a good way, doing those together. Now, I want to address one thing you said in the last show that I think is important to people, because I've heard it come up about the chosen, and that is this idea of the conceptualization of God, the imagination, and the flawed nature of our imagination. So when we get back from the break, I want to talk about your struggles with that. And I think, because I think it's pretty important, I think you're not alone in that for devout Catholics, and talk that through a bit. So when we get back, sure, we'll be talking with Gabriel Castillo. Be sure to check out his YouTube page, which is Gabi After Hours, and then also his website, truefaith.tv. And then, of course, this is part two. So if you of the show, the conversation with Gabriel, so if you're enjoying this, make sure you catch the other show, which is on spiritualdirection.com. Both shows will be up there. So we'll be right back from the break and talk about the challenges of mental conception or imaginative prayer. So we'll be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father, so there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation. You know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life, those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio with Gabriel Castillo of Gabi After Hours. A great YouTube page. You got to check it out. He's rock solid, interesting. The thing that bugs me about him, though, I have to be honest, is that he is better at explaining the very thing I've given my life to explaining than I am. So, and he just started prayer. I'm just sitting here going, wow, that's a great analogy. Wow, that's great. So, brother, I'm going to begin stealing some of the things that you have shared here on the show today, I promise you.
Stealed. It's all the Holy Spirit's anyway. So I'm stealing your stuff. You can steal anything I say.
Okay, cool. So you talked about this issue of imagination. I just want to set us up for a minute. You know, one thing that's a there's a lot of people who question the chosen. I don't think it should be used for RCIA or for, you know, teaching, unless you're making a contrast between what the show extrapolates or speculates about and what is actually scriptural. That's the biggest problem with it, in my opinion. Now, of course, the issues with Mary are not good, but I always say, you know, if that's going to get you to stop watching it, then you need to stop relying on St. Thomas Aquinas, the greatest theologian of all time, who made a major mistake regarding Mary. So that's the issues. You got to know your faith, and then it helps you. But
to see it as art.
Yeah, the argument I give, you know, both related to, well, what if the conceptualization I've come to is flawed? Well, the answer is every conceptualization of God since the beginning of time, and every mind and every heart and every painting and every statue is in error in some way. Now, we can't tolerate too much error when it's teaching. So, you know, if the chosen goes bad eventually in a really serious way, or too many things that are too hard to deal with, I will just say, don't watch it anymore. But anyway, I want to go back to that comment you made. And how did you get over that struggle of, well, wait, I don't want to make stuff up in my mind that's not true?
Step one, which is that God is present. That was always like, I've always had that. So It was the imagination part. And who am I imagining? And that was my hardest struggle with the Virgin Mary, because I was like, well, I don't know what the Virgin Mary looks like. And the Symbol of Our Lady of Guadalupe, she's, you know, Aztec mixed with Spaniard. And then over here, she's appearing as a woman with blonde hair. I don't know what to think of her. But I found praying with Jesus very easy, because specifically I use the image of Jonathan Rumi when I go to pray. I know that Jesus does not look like Jonathan Rumi. He's probably funnier than Jonathan Rumi, whatever.
Yeah.
Better looking than Jonathan Rumi. You know?
Everything. Yes, no doubt about it. The Lord can use Jonathan Rumi's face and the sound of his voice, provided I really, truly desire to seek the Lord. So in all honesty, when I go to pray, I try to imagine the face of Jonathan Rumi, and I allow the Lord to speak through him. Of course, it's going to be my imagination. But as we mentioned in the first show, when God speaks, when it's really Jesus himself, the effect is felt on the soul. And so I've had many moments of prayer where I've made decisions that I went through all the typical steps of discernment, and it was looking at the face of Christ, but that happens to look remarkably like Jonathan Rumi, that made me and pushed me in a certain direction. Mm. It doesn't matter what they look like. You pointed it out beautifully. No image in our imagination is going to do Jesus, Mary, the saints justice. They're all going to be flawed, but we need to conceptualize it, because again, it's very scientific. Our intellect will impact our wills.
Yeah.
So I need to have something in the intellect for the Lord to communicate. He does not communicate like you and I do through our exterior faculties, through speaking and through our hearing and through our sight. He works interiorly. And so I need some image that he can utilize. It'll make prayer a lot easier. So St. Teresa of Avila, she would recommend, she would always have a book when she would go to pray to help guide her meditation. They said that if you don't have your imagination, you can use pictures. I have a picture here of what I think Our Lady of Fatima would look like. Did she look like this? Probably not. But it presents to my imagination, I'm about to pray to a real person who has a real human body that is alive and communicates with me here and now today.
Excellent. So I want to go into a next piece, and it may be the last point of discussion we have. Sure. I don't know yet. Is why do you think the graces, the perceivable graces, keyword, perceptible, I don't know how to say it, experiential graces you used to receive praying the rosary stopped? Why do you think, you have any sense about why God did that?
Yeah, I do, because he wanted me to, and this was happening in my prayer. He was saying, you need to figure this out the hard way, because I would beg him. I was like, Lord, just speak to me. Blessed Mother, just speak to me. Just, why are you hiding yourself from me? And through my praying with St. Therese, I felt like she was saying to me, because you have to figure it out the hard way. Because if you don't learn it the hard way, you won't know the ins and outs, and you won't be able to communicate it to other people from experience. When people are struggling and in darkness for a year, you need to be able to say, I know what that's like. St. Francis de Sales says, an hour spent struggling to get mental prayer right is an hour well spent, even though you don't feel it. I honestly believe it's because we had to learn the hard way. Teresa of Avila is one of the greatest, is the greatest doctor of prayer. And she struggled with a terrible imagination,
yep,
precisely because she had to be able to explain it to people who had the worst of imagination. So the, yep, Lord gave her a handicap so that nobody could have an excuse.
Absolutely right. You know, this stretching, it's if we want a child to learn how to walk, we don't keep them in our arms. We put that child down so that they can stretch and they can struggle so that they can learn to walk. The other thing that I think is important for folks to know is as we struggle and we're pushed to stretch and engage in a different type of prayer, there will be more stretching that's going to happen. There's going to be more stretching for Gabriel. And there's going to be another time when the aridity is going to come and everything's going to be stripped away and the consolations and things aren't easy. And I can't go back to the scripture and I can't meditate anymore. And I'm going to go, what am I supposed to do now? Because I made that first hurdle and I came to this and I had all these amazing consolations, gracious, yeah, and I'm journaling like crazy and I can testify to everybody. And then the Lord's going to draw back again. And when he does that, he's going to be moving us into contemplative graces. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go into a contemplative aridity where everything's going to go away again. I'm going to pick up that scripture and I'm going to go, not working. And I'm going to have to work with my spiritual director and set that aside. And I'm going to have to rest. And the Lord's going to move me into a prayer of quiet. And because he wants to prepare me for an even deeper type of prayer. He wants to move me into contemplation, the Carmelite
understanding
of contemplation, which is not something we can do.
Yeah.
It's a gift given. It's a whole nother, yeah, level of beautiful graces. This, and I'm going to bring back up one of the books that Gabriel mentioned, and that's Devil in the Castle. Actually, I don't think he did, but I'm going to bring that one up because a lot of folks will read Teresa of Avila's Interior Castle. And so many times they're in the middle of prayer and they're doing great. And so they pick that up and they want to know where they are and they get about the third mansion and then they put it down. They go, oh, okay, I'm out. This just turned into Chinese to me. I don't understand it. I can't go there. But what I love about your Devil in the Castle is that's going to help people know where they are. And it's going to help them translate kind of how to navigate through that. It's going to give them a good sense of where they are in the spiritual journey, if they're in the purgative, the eliminative, or the unitive way. And then it's going to help them prepare for that time when the Lord is going to withdraw again. And there's going to be this dryness and he's going to disappear. And we're going to feel like we're alone and his presence is gone. All the consolations are gone. We're going to feel like we're just suffocating or drying up. And it's to help us transition in that time of trust, complete abandon to his movement. We keep showing up in prayer. We still have a desire to pray. And he's going to help move us into the gift that he wants to give us, which is contemplative prayer.
Well said. You know what's interesting about Gabriel? I actually think I've never heard anyone, Gabriel, who went through what we would call contemplative aridity or something, a kind of a deep aridity to get you attention,
yeah,
out of not leaving vocal prayer behind, but into a deeper kind of expression of,
yeah,
it.
It's interesting.
Isn't,
yeah,
it? Yeah, I've
he's
never
going
heard
vocal prayer, aridity, mental prayer.
And then you're going to go
but
back.
There's
and
going to be another aridity, right, that's going to draw you into contemplative prayer. So we just want to warn you.
So yeah. I'll look forward to the dryness. Thank you.
Well, you know what I think? I don't think it's going to be long for you. I think, yeah, you'll. Yeah.
You just keep persevering.
You're going to get the fruits out of mental prayer in probably a year or so or 2 years. And but the cool thing is you've already been through the dryness and you did the right thing. You said, hey, what's going on here? Help me, you know?
And one thing that I find with a lot of people who are new or first try it, they always come back with the same thing. I can't do it. My imagination's no good. And I think that, yes, there is true and authentic aridity, but a lot of people initially, there is a devil in the castle of their mind, in their soul, and they need to persevere in that. And I think one of the beautiful things about starting using mental prayer in the rosary is that one of the roles of the Virgin Mary is to crush the head of the serpent, mm-hmm, who brings desolation, and she's the spouse of the Holy Spirit who brings consolation. And so if there's any spiritual warfare because a life of filling your imagination with bad images and bad ideas. Invoking the Virgin Mary before any mental prayer activity is going to be very important.
Yeah, it's really going to help cleanse your imagination. That's a beautiful point, inviting the Lord into it to cleanse it. So a couple of resources I just want to spotlight real quick. The Contemplative Rosary, great for helping move into this mental prayer using the rosary. Yeah. The other one is The Better Part. You can find, and it's the commentaries on the four Gospels.
Reflections
and on the four Gospels. That is phenomenal. It's the best resource I've ever used for mental prayer. For those who really say, you know, I'm not really sure how to do this, that's a great resource as well. That's called The Better Part. It's reflections or commentaries, reflections on the four Gospels, and then the Contemplative Rosary. And you can find all that at spiritualdirection.com/shop. Actually, all the books that we mentioned today.
And as for our guest, Gabriel Castillo, check out his YouTube page at Gabi After Hours. It's his YouTube page, G-A-B-I After Hours. And then also his website, which is truefaith.tv. So obviously, we've listed a lot of resources. Those will give you, put URLs in the links, you know, links below
the
video, the show notes and all of that. So you can easily find all of this and find Gabriel. And, you know, he really does have our highest endorsement. He's a guy after the Lord's heart. He's a man who's dedicated to the magisterium and the teachings of the church and reverence in the Eucharist. So, Gabriel, thank you for your good work and for your self-giving to the church. It's really been a delight getting to know you.
Well, thank you so much. And again, I appreciate you for all the work you've done, because when I was trying to find resources, every time I'd be on Amazon looking for a book on a specific topic that I was hungry to learn about. And it was like, by Dan Burke. So truly it is an honor to have your endorsement and to have your friendship as well. So thank you so much.
All right. God bless.
It was a delight to talk
to
you.
Nice meeting you, Stephanie. Wow. Yeah, behind every good man, there's a more amazing woman.
Oh, you're a good man. Okay, until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.